very lively indeed through the afternoon and evening. There'll be plenty of showers around with some sunny spells and highs of 7 to 9 Celsius. That's the forecast.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Deacon there at the BBC Weather Centre. Now on Radio 4, our Book of the Week. Toby Jones reads part 3 of Philip Siegler's new biography, Olivier.
In his first 18 months at the Old Vic, Olivier played 6 major Shakespearean roles, beginning with Hamlet. His prince is often remembered for his lustful fondling of the Queen, but what most of the critics remarked on was the energy, the fury, and the athletic vigour of his performance. After Hamlet came Toby Belch in Twelfth Night, and then Henry V, followed by Macbeth, and then Iago to Ralph Richardson's Othello. All of them were well received, but not totally successful. Then came Coriolanus. Lewis Casson was his director, and his orders were that Larry was to get rid of all his experimental ideas and tricks and act in a natural, straightforward way. Olivier accepted the ruling. He had been growing in experience and stature since he joined the Old Vic. With Coriolanus, he came of age. This was all the more remarkable given the strains in his tempestuous private life. Early in 1936, Jill Esmond became pregnant. She knew about his great love affair with Vivian Leigh, but preferred to think of it as little as possible. "All that, from my point of view, was pretty nasty," she recalled. Perhaps she hoped that when their child was born, her husband's love would be miraculously rekindled. When he came, they called him Tarquin, but he brought no great improvement to the marriage. Olivier took proper interest in his son, but withdrew still further from his wife. Formally, the marriage survived for another year, but the veneer was wearing thin. Things came to a head when the Old Vic Company set sail for Denmark to put on Hamlet at Elsinore. The plan was to perform in the open air, but the first night was made impossible because of heavy rain. It was a gala performance with royalty present, so they were determined not to cancel, but switched to the ballroom of a nearby hotel. The cast, with Olivier very much in the lead, reorganised the production so that it could be acted with chairs banked around the stage. The evening was deemed a great success, and convinced Olivier that Shakespeare not only could, but should be played with the audience on both sides, as well as in front of the players. The shape of the National Theatre, first at the Old Vic, then in its present building, owes much to the success of this one performance on a rainy night in Denmark. The visit was also important for Olivier's marriage. For the Danish tour, Vivian Leigh had taken the part of Ophelia, and Jill Esmond decided that she should come along too. The result was open humiliation. Olivier and Leigh were unable to conceal their love for each other, and made little effort to do so. By the time they returned to London, "I decided it was time to pack up and go away," Esmond said. "Jill told," was the terse entry in Olivier's diary for the 11th of June 1937. Whichever side took the initiative, the marriage was over. Olivier does not emerge with great credit from the breakup of his marriage. In his defence, it can only be said that he was besottedly in love, and he never denied that he had been at fault and that Jill had been misused. He was as generous in the financial provisions he made for her as he had been sparing in his love. At this time, William Wyler, among the most prominent of American film directors, was pressing him to go to Hollywood to star in his most important film to date. Early in November 1938, he set sail from Southampton. The film was Wuthering Heights. Olivier had doubts about taking it on, especially when Vivian Leigh was not offered the role of Kathy, and he once again turned to Ralph Richardson for advice. "Yes, bit of fame. Good," said Richardson, and Olivier was on his way. Before filming began, Vivien Leigh had joined him in Hollywood, coming because she missed him, but for another reason too. For the last few months, the papers had been full of speculation about who would play the role of Scarlett O'Hara in David Selznick's Gone with the Wind. All the great names of Hollywood had been canvassed. Paulette Goddard was the current favourite. Vivien Leigh had decided that the part must be hers. She knew she was an outsider, little known in Hollywood, but that did not weaken her determination. The fact that Olivier, not a man who liked to be outshone, supported her in her efforts to be propelled into superstardom was a measure of how intense his love had become. The need to settle on a Scarlett was growing urgent. A decision had to be made. Olivier got his agent, Myron Selznick, brother of David, to take him and Vivien to visit the set. They arrived on the evening that the spectacular burning of Atlanta was taking place. As they approached Selznick, Leigh was silhouetted against the flames, her face glowing with excitement. "Hello, David," said Myron. "Meet Scarlett O'Hara." In a remarkably short time, the matter was settled. However, once the filming of Wuthering Heights was over, Olivier left Leigh to it in Hollywood and defected to New York for a job in the theatre. "I was never the sort to let a romance interfere with my career," he admitted, or perhaps boasted much later. The play was a resounding success, but Selznick sent an urgent appeal after it opened to rush to Hollywood. Grueling hard work and separation from Olivier had proved too much for Vivien Leigh. She was hysterical, close to a breakdown. Olivier could only have 3 days off, but in the short term was able to apply some emotional first aid, and Leigh was back at work on the set of Gone with the Wind by the time he left. For Olivier, this episode was an alarming shock. He had always known Vivien was highly strung and unstable, and he must have had apprehensions about the future. To add to this, his father died suddenly. Even if he wanted to, Olivier could not have got back to England in time for the funeral. Almost in spite of himself, he had warmed to his father in recent years, as his father warmed to his successful career. "More and more, old son, I congratulate you," he had written when Olivier's Hamlet was first on in London. "Everybody about here is raving about you." The furtive relationship with Leigh carried on, with Selznick determined to keep their entanglement out of the public eye. When Vivien wanted her lover to come to the grand opening of Gone with the Wind, Selznick vetoed the idea out of hand. "In that case, I won't attend," said Leigh, and Selznick had to give way. Meanwhile, Selznick was scheduled to make a film of Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca, to be directed by Alfred Hitchcock, with whom Olivier was particularly anxious to work. It seemed he was bound to have his wish. Once he had the part, Vivien decided the role of the omnipresent heroine should be hers, but Selznick thought it was wrong to cast Scarlett as the self-effacing second Mrs. de Winter, or it would destroy the balance of the film. Olivier did not press him strongly. "I didn't really want her to get the part," he admitted years later. "There was already so much strain on us. It was better we had a little vacation from constant togetherness. And I also hadn't felt she was right for the part, if truth be told." His performance was much lauded, although he admitted later, "I literally walked through the part. It had nothing to do with the real work of acting. That, of course, was the bloody exasperating thing about film acting. The less acting one did, the better one came across." Rebecca confirmed what Wuthering Heights had already suggested. Olivier was now in the first rank of international film stars. But now it was 1939, and his country was at war. Olivier believed it was a just and necessary war, and his first instinct was to hurry back to England from America, where he was based at the time, to be of whatever use he could. He disapproved of the Hollywood English who decided to stay there, and if only to preserve his good name, he felt he must leave. Yet where he could best serve his country was by making patriotic films that might promote the British cause. In the end, he stayed, and he and Vivian Leigh agreed to do a picture about Nelson and Lady Hamilton, with Alexander Korda directing them again. It won him a powerful admirer. Winston Churchill thought it was the best film about war ever made, and watched it 7 times. He even sent a copy to Stalin, who notched up 3 viewings. Olivier and Leigh were married at the end of August 1940, slipping away from Los Angeles to Santa Barbara to avoid the attention of the press. Soon after, the Oliviers got a berth on a ship destined for Europe. Despite their fears that it would be intercepted by a U-boat, all passed quite peacefully, and they managed to get back to England, arriving there in early 1941, in the midst of an air raid. They had come home. Olivier's intention was to join the war effort, following Ralph Richardson into the fleet air arm of the Royal Navy, as he had some flying training, but he failed the medical due to a hearing problem. Instead, he was assigned to fly trainee air gunners around the skies over Winchester, as they prepared for more serious operations. He looked absolutely right in the part. "I always thought my performance as a naval officer was the best bit of character acting I ever did," he once remarked. Eventually, the authorities decided he could be of more use by making propaganda for the war effort, including several films and some gala performances in the Albert Hall in London, always ending in a spirited rendition of "Once more into the breach, dear friends." What energy he had left over, he devoted to Vivian Leigh. "She is my whole life," he wrote at the time. But there were some suggestions he was starting to find her lavish devotion a little oppressive, and the situation was complicated by her failing health. In 1944, she was diagnosed with tuberculosis, and soon after miscarried a baby. She had always been subject to mood swings. After this trauma, they became dramatically worse. Meanwhile, Olivier was about to embark on an enterprise which established him most firmly as a figure celebrated not only in his own country, but across the world. A triumphant film version of Henry V. "Making Henry V changed my entire career," Olivier believed. "I took to film directing like a duck to water." He quickly established a reputation for being one of the most demanding and perfectionist of directors, and from the start he was determined to lead by example, promising that his actors would never have to do anything which he would not be prepared to do himself. They took him at his word. At one point, an extra was required to drop some 20 feet from the bough of a tree onto a horse cantering below and drag the rider from its back. "Well, I'd like to see you do it first, Mr. Olivier," said the destined victim. Olivier climbed the tree, performed the leap, and landed heavily on his ankle, tottering to his feet in some pain. "There, you see," he gasped through clenched teeth. "Quite easy, really." The film ran for 11 months in London cinemas, and the same in New York. The Oscar judges that year gave it a special award. It was a spectacular conclusion to what turned out to be a distinct stage in Olivier's career. He would not make another film until 1948. By then, he would not merely have re-established himself on the stage, but have played a leading part in what many still believe to be the golden age of British theatre.
Toby Jones was reading extracts from Olivier by Philip Ziegler. The book is abridged and directed by Eileen Horn, produced by Clive Brill, and is a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4. Now, before the shipping forecast, a little bit of sailing by. Another shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Thursday the 7th of November. There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Utsira, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth, Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides, Fair Isle and South East Iceland. The general synopsis at 1800. Low Wales, 993, expected Eastern Baltic, 998 by 1800 Thursday. New lows, expected Hebrides, 981, and just west of Bailey, 977 by same time. The area forecast for the next 24 hours, Viking, North Utsira, westerly or southwesterly, 5 to 7, increasing gale 8 for a time, showers, good. South Utsira, 40s, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, North German Bight.